The April 18th, 1989 meeting of the Full House Judiciary Committee will come to order. Today's work agenda includes House Bills 3395, 2588, 2164, 3200, 3089, 2757, 3355, 3004, 2127, 2214, 2357, 2808, 2696, 3455, 3324, 2796, 2342, 2748, 2784, 2279, 2280, 2668, 3365, 3195, 2930, 2083, 2571, 2891, 2653, 3390, 3138, 2481, 2691, 2458, and last but not least, 2562. How many people we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Want to call the committee, Mr. Chair?
We've got Representative Miller is probably...
I told him it was 115.
Meeting with his pro...
Pro what?
He was pro officer.
Off pro. Go. Pro. Pro.
Chair, I hope that we stay on schedule.
Room now?
We will indeed stay on schedule today if I can request that the members... talk only, not when talk to, but when they feel...
What's the schedule?
...extreme compelling necessity to do this. Generalized schedule, we're going to meet today, then... you're meeting afterwards?
No.
Who's meeting? Ms. Robinson, is anybody meeting afterwards today?
No.
So we can go all the way into the evening?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Robinson. Also, the committee's chair to... the committee's... Chair's intent tomorrow to hear sentencing guidelines. Thursday should be a fun criminal justice subcommittee. We'll be, nude dancing with pit bulls or something Thursday. Nude dancing with stone pit bulls, yes. Yeah. Friday, are you going to meet Friday?
Friday, the gun committee meets.
The gun committee meets. Okay, the gun
the
committee.
Gun committee.
Come on.
Thank you, Calvin.
And who said that? And then we're going to kind of take it easy next week. That's the chair's intention, unless somebody has any objection. Because we are, after today, we'll almost be totally caught up. In fact, we'll be probably a month ahead of ourselves. So, gentlemen and ladies, why don't we start out here? House Bill 3395 relating to property tax liens foreclosure. Representative Bauman, I believe that's out of your subcommittee, but I have been informed and a request has been made to me that the actual motion be to send it to revenue. Now, have you been brought up to speed on this?
I have a note, Mr. Chair, from Representative Costica, and it indicates that it's fine with him to rescind the subsequent referral.
No, okay,
to revenue.
I was wrong on that. Is that right?
He handed it to me today during floor session.
Is that right, Mr. Neal? I'm sorry. Won't be the first one. Okay, Mr. Taylor, why don't you...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that was up on April 7th, and it had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, despite the fact it doesn't affect revenue. In fact, what I have indicates that it will, if anything, raise some revenue because it expedites the procedure as it relates to the sale of property. Real property can be sold for non-payment of county property taxes to the county. However, the county must... the current owner, the former owner, can stay in the right of possession of the property for 2 years.
Yeah.
During this time, oftentimes, the property is wasted. This measure would allow a county to obtain possession after 30 days if the property is subject to waste or the property is abandoned. It passed out on April 7th, 11-0.
Representative Bauman, what were your motions? Go ahead.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Chair, with the process... is here if we need to have a motion to rescind or if we can just move it to the floor since we have the note. I would like to move House Bill 3395 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
There, That's right.
Question.
I'd like to kind of do it by implication, if we can. I mean, is that, or do we need a separate motion? I'm asking.
Well, if the chairman, I'm the vice chairman of revenue, and if the chairman said that's okay, I guess I didn't understand from legislative counsel. He said that this was probably okay in spite of the fact that there was a revenue, a positive revenue effect. Well, that sounds exactly the type of thing that should go to revenue. So I guess I'm not sure, other than the fact that the chairman had said that's okay, I'm not sure why.
Well, do we need to, like, enter evidence? I don't know why either. All I've got is this bit of evidence, since we're all, a lot of us are attorneys here. We can enter the evidence into the record that is a note on Carl Hostica's stationery that says House Bill 3395, okay to rescind subsequent to revenue. I don't know if the revenue committee wants to fool around with the bill. I hope they don't. I'd like to go to the floor.
Taylor, final comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On what this bill does, I mean, if there's a positive revenue impact, it's more indirect than anything. What this bill simply does in certain circumstances where the property is being wasted, it shortens the period of redemption from 2 years to 30 days. So it does not generate revenue. What it probably does is stop the property from being wasted and destroyed, so that when the two-year period runs, there's still some value to the property.
Move the question. For the discussion. If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Baum? Here.
Yeah. How about aye or yes?
Yeah.
Money.
Aye.
Aye.
Roy?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yeah. Yes.
Seven?
Here.
Yes.
Miller?
Aye.
It's about all.
Kenneth?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Baumann, what's your pleasure?
I'd like to carry it. I want to make it clear that the motion that we just voted on was 3395 as amended by subcommittee. There's no objection. Okay. Thank you.
2588. Representative Baumann, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You may remember the bill from the April 7th also. Representative Menace at that time served notice of reconsideration. So the bill is back up here, and this relates to seatbelts. Until recently, a defendant in a civil suit could not raise in an affirmative defense the fact an injured party was not wearing a seatbelt. On December 30th, 1987, the Oregon Supreme Court reversed its prior decision and said the failure to use installed operable seatbelt and testimony concerning the effect of this failure on the plaintiff's total injury can be a matter for the trier of fact to weigh in its apportionment of responsibility. The measure would preclude the non-use of seatbelts both as an affirmative defense and for mitigation of damages, except for cases for product liability.
Representative Baumann, your pleasure. 2588, floor do pass.
Yes, amended. To the floor, do pass.
As amended?
I don't believe we did.
There
we
was no amendments.
There were no amendments.
I'd like to enter, just a moment, Representative. Right, to enter on the record from. The House Bill 2588 has endorsement of the mother's
mental unkindness. Question.
For the discussion, if not, clerk, call roll. What?
Comment?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Lori?
No.
Clark?
No.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Keller?
No.
Dennis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Jermaine?
All right.
Chair?
No. Just for the committee's information, I had given notice before of a possible minority report. If not, just so you'll know, I don't plan to bring a minority report to the floor.
Representative Baumann, carry.
I will carry the bill.
Who will carry the bill?
I will carry the bill.
Baumann will carry the bill. 2164, relating to notaries publics, our old friend. Who takes this? Representative Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mason would be looking at the -6 amendments of this bill. Currently, the Secretary of State regulates notary publics. However, the governor has the authority to issue and revoke notarial commissions. In exercising these powers, the governor relies heavily on the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State has received numerous complaints concerning the failure of notaries to properly attest a document, allegedly identify who they are. The measure would shift to the Secretary of State the authority to issue and revoke notarial commissions. Also, it would require the notary applications to take a short open book examination, thus giving them the incentive to read the notary's manual. Require notaries to keep a log listing all documents notarized. Require the Secretary of State to issue a certain certificate authorization form to commission notaries.
and other things, and grant rulemaking authority to the Secretary of State to prescribe form stamps and set forth notary fees.
Representative Bauman moves House Bill 2164 to the floor, do pass as amended. Up, clerk, call roll.
Representative Calhoun?
No.
Flory?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Hardy?
Yes.
Edmund?
Aye.
Bennett?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Bennett?
No.
Baum?
No.
Bauman?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Representative Bauman, what's your pleasure? Carrying.
Representative Mannix.
Representative Mannix for
2164. See how he had such good luck last time.
He has some experience carrying this.
This time I want to do it right.
Representative Courtney. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3200 deals with two sections of juvenile and domestic relations law. We're dealing with the -4 amendments. The first section of the bill modifies notice procedures to husbands who are presumed to be the legal fathers of their children, but when they are separated from their wives and have had no contact, the current procedures are very timely, and what this will do is allow the courts to not serve actual notice under certain circumstances. Section 2 of the bill amends the termination of parental rights statutes and establishes those conditions whereby Children's Services Division does not have to make reasonable efforts prior to returning the child, and those would be situations where there has been severe abuse or death from a child. And the third part of the bill deals with the ability of the court to intervene in those lives of children whose parents have been convicted of crimes relating to abuse or neglect of children.
I had planned to carry it.
For the discussion, moves House Bill 3200 to the floor, do pass as amended. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
I was a no vote in subcommittee, and I just want to make the point, I don't believe we ought to be terminating parental rights by affidavit, which is what this is doing.
Further discussion?
Question.
Clerk, call roll.
Representative Flory?
Aye.
Clark?
No.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
No.
Ryan?
Aye.
Buffman?
No.
Chair Mason?
Aye. Representative Courtney?
Wait. Next bill, is that what you're saying?
No, who's going to carry it?
I was going to carry it.
Representative Courtney carried 3200. 3089 relating to bonds and probate proceedings. Representative Courtney.
Order, Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill came to the Judiciary Committee at the request of Representative Bunn. It is a simple bill. It would allow, under certain circumstances, for a bond requirement in a probate matter to be waived if all parties agreed and filed that agreement with the court. There is a safeguard in that the court's power is discretionary. I have also been asked to enter into the record that the Oregon State Bar is not taking a position on this.
For discussion.
Four.
Do pass amended.
Do pass as amended. Do pass.
Two to four. Do pass. For discussion. If not, clerk call roll. House Bill 3089.
Senator Clark.
Aye.
Courtney.
Yes.
Edmondson.
Yes.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Bennett.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Flory?
Aye.
Chair
Mason? Aye.
Bunsey.
Bunsey. Bun to carry. 2757 relating to decisions of public bodies. Representative Courtney.
Order, Council.
Hostica. Came to the Judiciary Committee at the request of Representative Hostica. The committee is considering the -3 amendments. What this bill does is attempts to give some added enforcement powers to decisions made by public bodies and sets up provisions whereby decisions can be voidable and that the court would have the authority to void certain decisions if the court finds that they are in violation, if the violation was a result of intentional disregard of the law or willful misconduct. and maintains the provision, however, that if equitable relief is available, the decision shall not be voided. It also adds to the open meetings law a provision which does not currently exist, which is a statute of limitations. This states that, well, not really a statute, a filing time, and states that all suits maintained under this provision must be brought within 60 days.
Further discussion?
Move the bill as amended to the floor. Do pass.
Do pass as amended from Representative Courtney. Further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll on 2757.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Panic?
No.
Miller?
No.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Yes.
Brian?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Lori?
Yes.
Clark?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Hostick and Carey. House Bill 3355. Representative Courtney.
Order,
Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee,
I'm going to
the request of Representative Calhoun. Currently, Oregon has a small estates procedure which allows for, upon the death of an individual, for that estate to be distributed by affidavit. The current figures which exist in the statute were set in 1979. And at the request of Representative Calhoun and a constituent, this bill would increase those figures. They are currently $15,000 and $35,000 for real and for personal and real property. This bill would increase them to $25,000 personal property, $60,000 real property.
Representative Courtney moves the floor. Do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Aye.
Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Yes.
Brian?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Lori?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Aye.
Aye.
Calhoun.
Representative Calhoun to carry. House Bill 3004, related to domestic relations, Representative Courtney.
Order, Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3004. Adds a small provision to some major revisions that were done last session regarding reconsideration of child or spousal support. What House Bill 3004 does is state that once a person has taken voluntary retirement in order to get out of paying spousal support and they're found to have done it in bad faith, that if they file a subsequent motion for modification, that it must be denied if that's the only reason that they're doing it.
Move the House Bill 304 to the floor. Do pass recommendation.
3004 to the floor. Do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Lori?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Jermaine?
Aye. Campbell. Campbell to carry. I haven't seen him around here lately. Dixon and Bill. House Bill. 2127, relating to courts, from Mr. Taylor, Representative
Taylor.
Thank you, Representative Bauman.
Representative Taylor.
Yeah. No, it's not. Members of the committee. Currently, considerable ambiguity exists as to how and where awards of attorney's fees, costs, and disbursements and judgments should be entered. For example, the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure are not precise as to what documents must be entered in the court register of actions as opposed to the judgment docket. This measure would sets forth 12 or 13 new procedures, civil procedures, including requiring all civil judgments to be clearly titled as judgments, eliminate the execution docket as a separate record, clarify that an award for attorney's fees would be reversed or modified if the appellate court reversed or modified the underlying judgment.
Representative Bauman moves House Bill 2127 to the floor. Do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Calhoun?
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Manning?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Bauman?
Representative Clark will carry the bill.
Representative Clark. House Bill 2214 relating to correctional education.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2214 passed out of the full committee in January, but was pulled back to sub because of problems. While the bill was in the subcommittee for repairs, Representative Bryan suggested adding a functional literacy program to the original bill, which required that the Joint Corrections Education Team membership include individuals with professional correctional education experience. The Dash 5 Legislative Council amendments addressed the problem with the bill as it was first voted out of subcommittee and add the requirement that the team develop a functional literacy program.
Discussion 2214, the floor do pass as amended. Any further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Aye.
Bryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Lori?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Manning?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Representative Bryan, carried. House Bill 2357 relating to corrections, Ms. Duker.
Mr. Chair, committee members, the Dash 4 Legislative Council amendments contain the substance of the bill. The original material has been deleted with the permission of the sponsor. House Bill 2357 is modeled after a similar bill which has already passed out of this committee in the House. House Bill 2357 provides that the Board of Parole, as a condition of leave, must require that an inmate live for the first 6 months of temporary leave in the county in which the inmate resided at the time of the events which resulted in imprisonment. The bill specifies circumstances which enable the Department of Corrections to waive this requirement.
It's like a bad dream.
I thought we didn't have
House Bill 2357.
One sentence of explanation. The
Let me
other
place
bill.
The motion, first representative. House Bill 2357, the floor, do pass amended. Representative Mannix's motion. Representative Mannix.
Thank you. The other bill, as part of the deal, because of a narrow relating clause, could only relate to parole. We needed another bill to interrelate the same provisions into temporary leave, and that's why this is being done.
For discussion of 2357, Representative
Calhoun. Was there some information distributed on 2436 indicating which counties were going to benefit?
This is in trouble. I'm a no.
This is a nuclear information hand grenade. Passed out on 2436? Question for anybody that might know.
I don't know about selective information.
It was represented on the floor, at least, that
well, I've mentioned Lane that Multnomah County and Lane County get more than their fair share right now of releasees, too.
Okay. I would have a bone to pick with that, with information I got from the Corrections Department. The other problem I have with this, and the reason for my no vote, is that temp leave is a leave in which a person's supposed to go out and find a job and get a place to work. And if we're limiting, if the person has 10 job prospects and we're limiting that person to the county where their family lives, which is probably in Felony Flats, so they'll have to stay in Marion County, or the county where they resided prior to their conviction, that's only two counties out of 36 that the person might be able to pursue job opportunities, and I think that's probably not good policy, so.
Further discussion or rebuttal? Representative Manning?
I think that this issue was already debated, and the question is, temporary leave ties in with parole, and one runs with the other. And the only reason that this wasn't in the other bill was because of a narrow relating clause. And in order to complete the program, I'd appreciate it if we could finish the package. Thank you.
No further discussion. Clerk, call roll.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Bryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
No.
Calori?
No.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Minnett?
No.
Baum?
Yeah.
Chair Mason?
Aye. This is my order.
Minnett? Okay.
We'll have to commit now that I'll join as the report to point out what it says.
And Representative Mannix to carry. Okay. 2808 relating to corrections. Ms. Zucker, this has a subsequent referral ways and means.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this bill is known as the boot camp bill. The idea of the bill is to implement a military-modeled inmate program for first-time felony offenders.
The offender must volunteer for the program, and if they do, they will commit to a drug and alcohol evaluation, and if they're addicts, must participate in a rehabilitation program. If the offender tests below a certain literacy level, she must attend a literacy program. The program lasts up to 120 days. The Department of Corrections is not required to implement the program. You should have the Dash 6 Legislative Council amendments in front of you, and there is a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Motions send to Ways and Means, do pass recommendation. For the discussion, 2808. If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Flory?
No.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Baum?
Yes.
Bellman?
Aye.
Yo.
Yo.
It was a bad joke. It didn't work. I'm sorry. Twenty-six ninety-nine relating to lost property. Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any person who finds lost or abandoned property with a value in excess of $25 or more must, within 10 days of finding, give notice to the county clerk where the property was found, and within 20 days of the finding, publish for four consecutive weeks in a newspaper of general circulation. Average cost of such publication is $64. More often than not, it's the local police department that has to do the publishing. This measure would require notice by publication only if the lost or abandoned property exceeded $100. We had testimony that more often than not that the property was less than $64, so cities and counties were losing money and trying to locate owners. There were no amendments made to this measure.
2699, the floor do pass as amended.
Question.
Representative Bowden. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Calhoun?
Aye.
Flory?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bryan?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Bowman, who to carry?
If Representative Edmondson would be so kind.
99 for Edmondson to carry. House Bill 3455 relating to liability. Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Currently, Oregon exempts donors of perishable food from criminal penalties and negligence unless the donor is grossly negligent if the food is donated to a charitable organization. However, donators of merchandise are not afforded such protection. This measure would give donators of merchandise the same protection the donators of food receive. We are looking at the Dash 2 amendments.
Representative Bowman moves 3455 to the floor. Do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Flory?
Aye.
Tremaine?
Aye. Representative Bowman.
I know.
Representative Clark.
Representative Clark, 3455. House Bill 3324 relating to crime victims' compensation. Ms. Zucker.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this bill broadens the definition of compensable crime by providing that when a person is injured as a result of a criminally negligent act, the person injured may be compensated for his injury. The definition of victim is expanded to include family members of persons injured or killed if the family member is injured as the result of a homicide, an assault, or a sex offense. The bill also increases the maximum amount a victim can be compensated for rehabilitation from an injury from $3,000 to $5,000. This bill is amended with the Dash 1 amendments.
Is there a subsequent referral Ways and Means?
I don't believe so.
Mr. Chair, if there isn't, and that's what needs to go. It's going to cost money, obviously, and I know that's a great bill, but let's send it down to the elephant dying ground and other Ways and Means, because it's going to cost a lot of money. Well, we could kick it out on the floor, but it's going to cost a lot of money, and I...
Bold, Representative Calhoun. I mean, this is... Yeah. This is...
Put this thing on the... Will it make the Senate worry about it?
Don't ever give those guys anything. I mean, I'm
really, if you really want to move it out, we sure can do that, but it's going to cost some money.
I mean, well, it's your bill, but I mean, you know, it's your call.
Let's move it through the House, and we get to vote on it, and we'll make the Senate worry about how they're going to pay for
good.
It.
Good.
There you go.
Representative Calhoun, this House Bill 3324 to the floor, do pass as amended. Any further discussion?
Call roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yeah.
Bowman?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Calori?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Calhoun, you, now that we've forced this on you, do you want us to carry it, or do you want you?
I'll go out there and take on the members of Ways and Means, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Behind you. Okay. House Bill 2796, relating to post-conviction relief, Representative Baum, special, Ms. Zucker.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this is Representative Baum's bill. The bill limits the amount of time a person convicted of a crime has to file a post-conviction relief petition to 120 days of, if no appeal is taken, the date the sentence is executed, and if there is an appeal, the date the appeal is final. As amended, the bill provides an exception to this strict requirement for cases in which a petitioner discovers information after the time limit, and that information could not reasonably have been raised earlier. There are dash one amendments, and the vote from subcommittee was 7-0.
2796, the floor do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Bowman?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Calori?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes. Aye. Representative Baum. House Bill 2342, relating to courts. This is the Circuit District Court consolidation. Representative Bauman, I have a motion on this, but by protocol, I turn it over to you prior to my motion.
Should we move the bill first, or you want to make your motion first?
Should council
explain the bill first?
It out some of the passions that were involved in this bill, because we fought this thing all the way back. This goes all the way back to, I believe, 81, 83, because I remember being on the losing side then. And I think, but people were aware that they were probably going to oppose the bill. They did not, but I think I made that relatively clear at the time. So I don't know whether or not that would have made any difference, but there was no effort whatsoever to play hide the ball on this bill. In fact, I warned Representative Mannix about four times where we were going with this. So your point's well taken. Representative Bauman?
Just a couple comments. One, and I'm sorry that I'm not better prepared for the committee, but there is another bill in the process which addresses the issue of insurance, which and the ability of an insurance company to take a non-motor vehicle-related offense into consideration in the family's insurance rate, but I support Representative Calhoun's motion to take this back to committee so that we have an opportunity to see this in the light of that other bill that's in the process. And also, I guess there's no question about the fact that I oppose the bill as amended as presented today, and my reasons for that, I think, are already on the record. Representative Baum did a nice job of explaining my objection.
Representative Mannix.
On the motion to refer to Crime and Corrections, we had a public hearing. I don't think that we need to refer anything for another public hearing unless there's some new issues that have arisen or new debate has arisen. That hasn't occurred. And I have no problem with having this committee make a determination as to whether or not they want the law to remain as is or whether or not they think the rational basis connection should be added to the law. There is, and Representative Calori and I have made a presentation to the Consumer and Business Affairs Committee of an amendment to a bill relating to the insurance aspects, but I must tell you quite honestly that that amendment is running into trouble. At least I was told after we left the room that day that the insurance industry was all over it. So I don't want you to vote today assuming that the problem will be taken care of somewhere else. It may or may not be the insurance-related problem.
Chairman?
Representative Bryan.
I voted yes in subcommittee and would intend to vote no today if we proceeded on the bill. And I just wanted to put that on record because I think that the more we discussed it, and I know Representative Mannix made a good faith effort to get at a certain problem, but by the time we got at that problem in a reasonable way, I think we've practically eliminated any impact of the bill. The most important thing is the committee had a lot of discussion about not just the drinking driver, but the contribution to problems made by drinking passengers. and people who are at parties who then become passengers and cause problems and distractions for the driver. And I, even though I voted yes, I've come to the conclusion that it's a bad bill.
Representative Mannix and I were wondering, beside us two, does this bill have any friends left?
Chairman?
That's Representative Mannix?
Perhaps the best thing to do would be, now if we re-refer it and it turns out, perhaps we can always do something on the insurance side and crime and corrections. Is that what you're thinking, Representative?
Yes, exactly. Mr. Chairman, I've done some checking, and I think the insurance is the decisive problem here. And I have found that there are counties where the judges are not following the law because they know that there will be repercussions on the insurance. And so consequently, the law as it exists is worth nothing. And I think that correcting the insurance problem brings it back to the point where it can be enforced, and that's worth doing. And if it's true that the bill that that Representative Mannix and I went down to address has some problem, then we really need to do it here.
Why don't we do this painlessly? Is there any objection to Representative Calhoun's motion?
We're trying to get it down to the civil sub instead of...
No, we're trying to get it...
Would it be more appropriate to send it down to the civil sub to look at with insurance?
Representative Mannix, you're the main proponent. The chair of Crime Corrections has no objection.
Through it, so I just assume we go back to Crime and Corrections.
Any objection to Representative Calhoun's motion? Hearing none, so ordered.
Okay. House Bill 3138 related to unitary assessment.
Criminal cases, it has subsequent referral of Ways and Means. Ms. Zucker.
Chair, committee members, a unitary assessment is an amount of money a person convicted of a crime, violation, or infraction must pay. House Bill 3138 delays the effective date of the unitary assessment, thus enabling all courts on the statewide computer system to be connected before implementation of the unitary assessment, and enabling users of the new system to have an opportunity to work out the bugs. House Bill 2087 from 1987, which would have become effective July 1st, 1989, provided that a percentage of a unitary assessment was supposed to go to victims' assistance. House Bill 2087 also provided for unitary assessment on violations. However, this bill in front of us, House Bill 3138, postpones the effective date of House Bill 2087 for 2 years, thereby allowing victims' assistance programs to suffer from underfunding. To remedy this, the bill before us allows victim penalty assessments to be collected for violations between now and the 2 years from now when the unitary assessment will go into effect. There are -1 Legislative Council amendments, and there is a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Chair moves House Bill 3138, Ways and Means, do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk, call roll.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Lori?
Aye.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Manage?
Aye.
Jermaine?
Aye. House Bill 2481 relating to children. Representative Courtney.
Go to council.
Sorry, I'm asleep.
Came up earlier.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
She does take the initiative, doesn't she?
I'm file marking them off here. Maybe
it came up earlier.
House Bill 2481 attempts to address the issue of children who were born, and children who become drug addicted in Oregon, and extends Oregon's current child abuse reporting laws and Oregon's current juvenile court jurisdiction statutes. Section 1 of the bill amends the child abuse reporting laws by defining the presence of illegal controlled substances or drug addiction in a child as child abuse and therefore reportable. The committee added a limitation that criminal prosecutions arising out of these reports would be limited. Section 2 adds a new section to the juvenile court jurisdiction statutes, which would allow a court to take original jurisdiction over a child whose physical or mental well-being had been impaired by the use of controlled substances, chronic abuse of alcohol.
Discussion, House Bill 2481. Representative Courtney moves House Bill 2481 to the floor. Do pass as amended.
Mr. Chair, before we go barreling through on this, I've had a lot of conversation with people who are concerned about the bill. I haven't tracked the bill in its subcommittee. I would really like for Representative Courtney, if you would, Representative Courtney, to summarize for us where you've heard the concerns arise, how the subcommittee accommodated those concerns, or where the subcommittee decided not to accommodate the concerns in 2481. The way they've been presented to your committee, Representative Courtney.
Lieutenant Counsel, I'm looking for the stuff here. Talk about the points of I'm sorry. Go ahead, Representative Epstein. I didn't mean to.
Thank you.
I was going to use the same approach we used when we put the thing together, but that's fine.
Well, I just, because they were my amendments, I wanted
right,
to
that's
address
right.
them.
You're right.
There were there was concern that the bill had two parts, really, that it dealt only with the mother's involvement with the use of drugs that might have some problems constitutionally being based on a gender distinction. And also that there was that the original bill referred to newborn baby when there might be problems with children, young children who are exposed to drugs, and that they would not be falling within this because it was the newborn language. And then a third matter was that there was a criminality involved here, that if a mother who has a drug problem and is concerned about her child, unborn child, was subject to criminal sanctions, that she might be reluctant to seek prenatal care. So we did a number of things. We deleted the word newborn baby and inserted the word child so that it takes into account the young children as well as newborns. And then language there on the amendments, lines 2, 3, and 4, is taken, borrowed in substance from the Florida statute, which is basically make sure there is no prosecution on the basis of the newborn's drug dependencies, hopefully to address the concern of criminality. And then we removed all references to the mother's prenatal use and to basically prenatal use, so that it is now gender neutral. And I have received some communication from the Women's Rights Coalition that these amendments were addressed the concerns. I think they did. At least that was certainly our intent to do that with these amendments.
We really did, for what it's worth, generically speaking, Representative, and really worked hard to try to reach an accord. I don't know if we've reached an accord with some of those groups, but those are the amendments that we made to try to get at least halfway there, Representative Baumann.
I appreciate that. If I could just make a comment, and I really feel almost guilty making any comment on this bill at all, understanding that the amount of work that the subcommittee put in to it and the fact that all of these concerns, I am assuming, that were brought to my attention were brought to your attention and are a matter of record. The frustration that I feel at this point is that we kind of come into this story when it's too late to do very much, and we are much better equipped for some reason to come in a punitive way than we are equipped to come in a prevention or treatment kind of a way. And it's clear that this story starts with an adult who is drug or alcohol dependent and is not receiving adequate care. I mean, there's a real consistency between those two statements, I think. And I'm only frustrated that, and I'm sure the subcommittee is frustrated too, that we're not able to achieve some kind of intervention until the intervention that this bill addresses. And even then, I'm concerned that the focus is much more intensely on a punitive aspect than it is on a treatment aspect, even with the amendments.
But I asked Representative Edmondson to also make a statement along those lines, because
yes, the number escapes me right now. Perhaps Ms. Yaden can help me. Though that same frustration bothered me, Representative Baumann, so much that I am sponsoring a bill on parent education that just passed out of the Family Subcommittee of Human Resources yesterday to specifically address remedial assistance for at-risk parents who fall into this definition. I felt like that we were being reactive in our Judiciary Committee and not proactive to try to help people in a positive sense, and that the bill that I've sponsored directs the public health nurses to assist these parents, not just mothers, but mothers and fathers, and to help them for the first 3 years of their child's life, and then to continue to monitor through the first years of school. And that's why I was so anxious to get in the Florida language here that eliminated the possibility of criminal prosecution. So what we need to do is to identify, in as kind of a gentle as a manner as we can, these families and help them at a time when they're most open to help. At the birth of a child, that may be the best opportunity we have to offer help to people who are willing to take it, because they've got a new life to care for. So we were very sensitive about that, and I certainly hope that the bill, the other bill in human resources, will proceed, and it's got a lot of support, and it becomes sort of the counterpart to this one. So we were sensitive to that, but the frustration is that we're dealing with a judiciary bill and not a human resources bill.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. To follow up on Representative Edmondson said, some of the people who came to us said that this is not the right approach. The right approach would be to focus on education and that approach, rather than to come at it from the standpoint of calling this child abuse. And I think that, in my view, it's not an either or. It's a both and. And I think passage of this bill plus the approach that Representative Edmondson is suggesting makes good sense. I took the time last week to go visit a family in West Lynn, a foster parents who have 4 drug addicted babies that they're taking care of, and it was something to see. And there's no doubt in my mind that those kids have been abused, some way, somehow, have been abused. And the numbers that we heard in testimony were something like 30 to 35 drug addicted babies per week now being born in Oregon. And estimated 5,000 of these children will be entering our schools in the next 4 to 6 years with special education requirements. That's the first point. The second point is, I don't personally, as a constitutional lawyer, I don't believe there's a constitutional problem with this bill. It's a difficult public policy issue. I don't think it's a difficult constitutional question. I think we're absolutely entitled to do what we want to do here without any constitutional difficulty.
Mr. Chairman. We need to remember that we're not taking final sanction action in this kind of approach. First, we're defining a form of abuse. That's all we're doing, is defining it. And someone's got illegal controlled substances in that person's body, and that person's a child. Somehow that child has been subject to abuse or self-abuse. Second thing we're doing is we're saying, in terms of jurisdiction, and it's there. Then we have to deal with all the other ramifications, but we're just saying, as a definition, that is a form of abuse or self-abuse. And second point is, in terms of jurisdiction, we're just saying that we're allowing jurisdiction of the court in these circumstances. We're not saying that sanctions will be imposed, and I think that's an important distinction. Just means that the court can intervene, and if the child is endangered, the child can be removed from the home, but if the parents can be helped, the parents can be helped through Children's Services Division and other resource agencies. It's not a sanctions bill. Thank you.
I had a quick comment, if I could. I was initially stuck on this bill, just maybe for a follow-up Representative Bauman's concerns, and thinking that it either didn't do anything at all or that it was going to be a complete disaster, or maybe both. And the reason is that there are already basically some more general categories that would include the kind of things that we're trying to get at in here. The problems that this could cause are potentially that, one, the expectant mothers aren't going to come to a hospital because they're afraid that if they come to the hospital, they're going to be punished either by losing their child or through other means. And then also that, two, some people that aren't really having a drug problem are reported by doctors that are scared that they have to report, otherwise they'll get into trouble. So they report these very marginal cases where they're just being overly cautious. So then we wind up pulling people into the system that don't belong there. Finally, the only justification that I got, we did talk about the problem with the mothers not showing up, and apparently that's happened in other states. And the basic response I got from the governor's office is that, well, I'm not the expert to ask on this. But finally, the only real justification that was given for the bill that was that we're right now doctors can do this. Under this bill, they would have to report it, and that they wanted the mandatory reporting requirement. And I'm going to very, very, very reluctantly support this bill.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Reluctantly, go on.
Well, just one comment. I mean, everybody, I thought there was testimony, or that we had understanding that, yes, initially these other states that we did see some impact that the Representative Callan was talking about, but then that it faded. Is that correct? I mean, I stand corrected during the council. I thought we discussed that issue. We didn't want it to go unnoticed or undealt with, and we were concerned, like Representative Bowman points out, of the possibility. Isn't that right? Or am I just want that on the record to make it, to act like it'll be this way forever. I don't think that's...
If I can make a statement that, on this, there were some questions I asked around the issue, and I got the response that, well, I'm not the right person to ask. The reply was, and I thought it was a little bit startling, that they actually sat there and they told us that, yes, that will happen. This is going to drive mothers away from hospitals, as evidenced by other states. However, after a little while, that stops to happen. Now, I don't understand why the mothers stopped being driven away because of that, but that was their testimony. So I found it incredible that they would admit that this was going to happen and nonetheless be supporting this bill. And I also found it incredible to believe that the problem was going away. Just some background information.
I guess the real question, if I could, just Chair Mason, I think this is a vitally important bill. And I really find that the issue that we're dealing with I'm not sure is really clearly out. This is another one of those votes where I'm not going to vote in support of a bill, which does not mean that I am in support or many less offended by Representative Mannix or Representative Clark by a really painful situation that exists for totally innocent people. My concern is that although that there's an interesting answer to a question that Representative Calhoun has asked, which is, does this drive women away from medical treatment? The other question is, does this drive people away from the circumstances that lead to the problem in the first place? And I haven't heard an answer to that question. I'm not sure that we are moving in any direction, or that we aren't just sort of shuffling our caseload around. Where is the commitment to fund all of the extra workers that we're calling for in CSD? Where is the commitment to do something about the underlying problem? Because until we get a handle on that, the problem of the drug-dependent babies will continue to exist. CSD will have a new problem, which is a new caseload, and we will deal with that next session. The other problem is that this puts a kind of jurisdictional authority over women's bodies, which I find to be an incursion that offends me, and I will stand for that offense with my vote, which is not, I hope, to be characterized in any other way than the way that I characterize it here.
Anything further? Representative Mintz?
Yes.
Baum?
Yes.
Baumann?
No.
Bryant?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Florence?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Representative Courtney. Representative Courtney, 2041. 2691, Logan City Valley, Representative Courtney.
Under council.
91 extends current authority which the juvenile court has. Currently, the juvenile courts can order parents into educational and counseling programs if there's a relationship between a deficiency in parenting skills and the circumstances that brought the child within the jurisdiction of the court. I'll just supplement that law by allowing the court to order a parent or guardian to participate in a drug or alcohol treatment program if the parent or guardian's own addiction or habitual use significantly contributed to the circumstances bringing the child before the court. The committee did amend the bill and require that before the court could make that finding and order a parent into treatment, that they must find by clear and convincing evidence that the parent's behavior did significantly contribute to the circumstances. This bill, as written, applies to both the dependency and delinquency cases.
Passed as amended, Representative Courtney's motion. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I had some real problems with this bill first when we first looked at it because of sort of a philosophical concern that you can't order people to be good parents, and that that mandated drug and alcohol counseling might not work. Subsequent to that, Mr. Kushner provided us with a real good research report on the effect of mandatory drug and alcohol treatment, which frankly changed my mind. And still have, well, I just didn't want anybody to think that the comments that I made earlier were necessarily inconsistent. I'm simply admitting outright that I had my mind changed by a pretty good set of research.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
Yes.
Bryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Pallori?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Manick?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Gervais?
Aye.
Representative Courtney, what's your pleasure?
Representative Edmondson.
Representative Edmondson. House Bill 2458 relating to civil procedure. Representative Bauman, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, committee members. The Dash 1 Legislative Council amendments contain the bill. This is Representative Edmondson's bill. It provides that findings of fact from contested case administrative proceedings are not admissible until the order containing the factual findings is final. The bill also amends the hearsay exception regarding findings of fact from contested case administrative proceedings. These findings will not be admissible unless the party against whom the facts are offered was adversely affected by the agency order and the party was entitled to judicial review. This means that a litigant in a civil proceeding cannot introduce adverse facts from a prior administrative proceeding against a party who is not a party to the administrative proceeding.
Amended?
Anybody that's looking at the civil procedure version.
Yeah. I might want to, this was radical amendments, deleting everything and including the requester and inserting some language. It also, I think the fiscal that shows a $250,000 impact is probably also no longer.
House, Representative Gordon, pardon me, Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2458. The floor do pass as amended. Any further discussion? If not, clerk call roll.
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Aye.
Lord?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Aye.
Manick?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Long?
Yes.
Gervais? Aye. Representative Bauman?
Representative Edmondson?
Representative Edmondson, carry 2458. House Bill 2562 related to civil actions, Representative Bauman?
Okay. This one is also Ms. Zucker's.
Mr. Chair, committee members, once again, the Dash 1 amendments contain the bill, and this is Representative Clark's bill, which allows testimony by telephone if the party stipulates testimony by telephone. If the witness is not subject to the court subpoena power, the witness is an expert witness, or the court determines that requiring the witness to appear personally to testify would impose a substantial hardship on the witness. The bill prescribes procedures for admission of testimony by telephone and provides for a method of objecting to telephone testimony.
Do you want to
say
Mr. Chair?
House Bill
3934 as I'm sorry, 2562 as amended.
To the floor, do pass. As amended? As amended. Any further discussion, Representative Clark?
Yeah, just so no one's confused, the original requesters of the bill were the Oregon Collectors Association. Their name has come off, and it's an entirely different bill, in case anyone didn't notice.
It was a good bill.
It's a good bill.
Okay,
fine. Any further discussion? Clerk, call roll.
Aye.
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 Yes.
Edmondson.
Aye.
Mannix.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Minnis.
Aye.
Aye.
Jermaine.
Representative Bauman, who do you wish to carry?
Representative Clark will carry it. Mr. Chair, there's
Clark.
A request
yes.
on that bill.
Yes. This bill was requested by the folks at the St. Andrew Legal Clinic, and I would like to list them as requesters if that's possible procedurally.
Objection to that? We'll try it. Hearing
okay.
It's ordered. Ladies and gentlemen, unless there's anything further, Representative Mannix?
Yes, I request unanimous consent that I be allowed to cast a vote on House Bill 3395.
Mannix requests unanimous consent that he be allowed to cast a vote on House Bill 3395.
The first item on the agenda. I missed okay. it. I'm sorry.
Will not change the outcome of the vote. Any objection? How do you vote in House Bill 3395, Representative Mannix?
I vote aye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for an incredibly productive work session. We are averaging about 3 minutes a bill, and notwithstanding the protestations of counsel who said we could never do it.
Would you like me to fill Representative Baum's bucket with words so that we can
just a simple mea culpa, Ms. Robinson, will do.
When do I need to have my minority report?
Anything further? Thank you.
Four
resolutions.